Good morning, good morning. My name is Susan. Welcome to Ovaries Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And today is Wednesday, December 25th, 2024. And we are continuing on in the Big Book, in How It Works, page 67, the first full paragraph. We avoid retaliation or argument of each and every one is where the paragraph closes. So today's readers are Wendy M., who will read the text, and SCH is our backup and now reading vision for us. So we're a two-man team on the front end, and we have our newcomer greeter, Betsy H., here, and Jody will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, December 24th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 22,020. And for Wednesday, December 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern, the reference number is 22,022. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. As a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jan L. to please unmute and read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Jan.
You're welcome. Good morning. This is Jan L. in Florida, and these are the 12 steps. Hold on a second. I didn't have my glasses on. Okay. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and thank you to everyone on the line who's serving.
Thank you, John L. And I will now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Mary. And if everyone else could mute their line, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on side issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thanks very much for letting me be of service this morning.
Thank you, Mary. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Someone's unmuted. If you could star one, please. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we're going to resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter How It Works. If you turn to page 67, we're going to read and comment on the paragraph, we avoid retaliation or argument through to each and every one. So it's the first full paragraph on page 67. And I will now pass it over to Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, to start reading and then share her experience. Thank you, Wendy.
Yes. Yes. Good morning, Wendy M. Recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Grateful to be with all of you. Susan, thank you for your service always. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. I'm smiling right now because my thought is, okay, I gave up the food. Do I really have to give up retaliation? Like, again, you know, the food felt fabulous for 8 seconds. Retaliation feels fabulous for about 8 seconds. And then it feels awful. And God makes that possible. You know, page 62, right? Selfish self-centeredness. What's going to happen? That will kill us. God makes that possible. So what we know today, especially in a recovered state, is, oh my God, I'm in the middle of a retaliation. It doesn't feel good. And I can course correct, which is what this program is about, course correcting. You know, and retaliation looks like They didn't write me back in enough time on the text, so I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to ignore them back, right? Or I'm going to punish them back because they made me feel bad, right? All that kind of, and the arguments, right? I'm in the car yesterday with my ex-husband, and oh boy, it takes discipline not to retaliate or argue. But I'll tell you what I got from not doing that, from keeping my mouth shut during our drive back from Denver. And what I got from that is this amazing peace and serenity. Somebody said yesterday on the line, it takes discipline to not retaliate, to not fight, to not argue, to not be right. It takes discipline. I love that, you know, and God makes that possible. And then the other thing, they talk about being helpful, right? I love this. We don't destroy our chance of being helpful. So the way I look at it is we're on an assignment. We're on God's assignment, everybody on this line. And my defects block my assignment, right? I love that because it tells me I have a bigger purpose here. My purpose isn't just to weigh and measure my food or, you know, or to not retaliate, although that is a spiritual experience. My purpose is to do something much greater, which is to be helpful at all times. God makes that possible, right? And when I'm in resentment, when I'm in the fight, I'm in it because I'm not accepting God's world. I'm not accepting how this thing goes down. And then just being helpful, I'll give you an example. Is that my time?
Okay. Not yet.
Okay, good. So yesterday, unfortunately, my ex-husband's girlfriend is in the middle of dying, probably today. I saw her yesterday. Okay, helpful is giving my ex-husband a ride for an hour-long ride to visit with her so he could have his last time with her. What? And then I get to have my last time with her because the old Wendy
that is...
That is
time, Wendy.
Okay, somebody's dying. I'm running the other way. God shows me how to be helpful in every instance all the time. Thank you, God, and thank you, Susan, for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Wendy, for your service this month. All right, here we go. Again, if you came in while Wendy was speaking, we are reading, and now we're going to comment on the first paragraph on page 67. We avoid retaliation or argument through to of each and every one. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So, as a reminder, if you can give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, please press *1 and let's go.
Alex K.
Thank you, Alex, and I know where you're from.
Abby D.
Abby, know where you're from.
Julie P., Minnesota.
Thank you, Julie. Anyone else for this first lineup?
Sarah P., California.
Thank you, Sarah. Anyone else? Or we'll pause here for a second.
Sharon C. from New Jersey.
Thank you, Sharon. All right, let's stop here. So I have Alex K., Abby D., Julie P., Sarah P., and Sharon C. So if everybody other than Alex could mute their line. Alex, please join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. I would add to that sentence that says we would destroy our chance of being helpful, and I would destroy my chance of being peaceful, because when I treat people less than kindly, it doesn't feel good. It disturbs my serenity. I can use the good old golden rule as a guide and strive to treat others as I want to be treated. Even if I may at first feel wronged by someone, I don't have to take it personally. The other person is rude or impatient or critical. I can have empathy and consider maybe they're having a hard day, and I can relate because I've been there too. I don't always show up as my best self. It helps me to remember that others' behavior is usually more about them than about me. If someone's in a bad mood, I don't have to take it on and use it against myself. or anyone else. I can. I used to separate myself from people and feel threatened, like a victim, or blame others for how I felt. I saw people as obstacles to me getting my way. Why don't they follow my script? I was so focused on myself and what I wanted, I didn't think much about others having feelings and needs just like me. And programs helped me so much to be more thoughtful and sensitive and compassionate and considerate of others. And I no longer feel separate. I feel part of, along with my fellow human beings. We all have struggles and strengths and weaknesses. We're all beautiful bozos on the bus trying our best. We're all in this life together. And that's a good feeling, much better than how I used to feel, like it was me against the world. I know my higher power wants me to be kind and loving with everyone, including myself. And my higher power helps me to pause and respond with kindness rather than react impulsively with my character defects. And of course, I don't do it perfectly, but there's been lots of progress, and I can actually start to think about how I might be of service to others, what my higher power might be showing me in any given situation, rather than just thinking about myself. I'm becoming less self-centered, yay, and more higher power-centered. That's been an amazing spiritual awakening that's ongoing. I'm so grateful. Thanks, everyone, for helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Thank you, Alex K. in California. Next, we're going to go to Michigan. Good morning, Abby.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. This is Abby D. I'm recovered in Michigan today. Oh, I'm grateful to be on the 10 a.m. because I'm on break from work, and I am just lounging, and it is so lovely to be on the meeting 3 hours later than I normally am. Anyways, we avoid retaliation or argument. When I'm thinking about the word retaliation, it doesn't always look like obvious, like I'm going to get back at you retaliation. It's like, okay, what? People aren't following my script, so I get mad. Or I get, like, just, I get irked. And, you know, people aren't following my script, so what are my reactions? Well, if I look at it like that, it's like, what are my unkind thoughts or behaviors because they're not following my script? So, like, I'm going to do silent scorn. Like, I'm going to get quiet, or I'm going to slam the door a little bit, or I'm going to, whatever my reaction is to them not following my script, anything that's not kind, that's retaliation. Like, I'm going to get them, you know? Or I'm going to show that, you know, it's just like I have to start looking at that behavior. And so when I avoid that, then I can just look at where I am being selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid. Like I avoid those behaviors, and instead I look at, okay, what can I do differently? And that was so powerful for me to start looking at my reactions, my retaliations. And if we avoid retaliation and argument, like, I stay silent. And in one of my readings I did this morning, like, there's something so peaceful about the silence. But if there's any sort of resentment in that silence, it just completely... It completely ruins all the good of the silence. like the silence is no longer, the silence is no longer powerful, because the silence that's from God is quiet and still and peaceful. And if there's any sort of resentment in that silence, that loses its power. So I just love that it ties into like the retaliation that I can't afford it today. And I'm just grateful to be here with
Abby.
In the past.
Thank you so much, Abby D. in Michigan. Next, we're going to Minnesota. Good morning, Julie P. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am in the state of Minnesota. I am a compulsive overeater and so very grateful to be here. Blessings to all of you in this day. This paragraph, as you read it, a few thoughts came to my mind, and we avoid retaliation or argument. And I have been a scrapper my whole life with my words. I have been very resourceful when it comes to the English language and using my words like the sword to cut you with that sword. I am so very grateful today that I live with a repeat offender, and that repeat offender is teaching me how to not. Through this program, my higher power is teaching me, bless him, change me. And this is a totally new way of living for me, because the repeat offender attacks quite often, but I'm learning through the help of my sponsor and all of you that that's not about me. And those words only cut me, and my need to be right is how I retaliate. And I'm learning that my need to be right has nothing to do with living in the four absolutes of purity, love, unselfishness, and honesty. And as long as I am able to stay in this program and keep doing this work on a daily basis, I am learning that I still continue to be the problem. And if I feel the need to retaliate or argue, I will eat. End of discussion. And I'm so grateful today that I have learned that. And it is truly a spiritual awakening for me. And with that, I will pass and thank you all for your service.
So much, Julie P. in Minnesota. Next, we're coming back to California. Sarah P., please join us. Thank you.
Hi, this is Sarah P., a compulsive overeater. This is the perfect paragraph to have read where I am this week and month and past 2 months. And I want to share a bit of my struggle with this concept. So my father is a narcissist that I'm coming to see and struggle to live with. So emotionally, I mean, I'm still in high school and I'm stuck like living at his house. Like there's nowhere for me to go. But these past few months, I've had difficulty with his outbursts. And originally, his first outburst, I mean, they happen frequently, but they've been happening very frequently recently. And since his first outburst, I was like decided that I was going to put my distance and I was going to give short responses and I was going to protect my peace. And I couldn't change him. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And I was silent. But like someone said, I didn't realize that I was silent in resentment. And what happened is I got in trouble again, and he exploded again because of the way that I was reacting with him, which obviously, like, everyone has their part in. But I didn't realize that there's this silent and resentment. And after he exploded at me for that, I really was punitive and punishing. And I was like, well, I don't want you to think that I even like you. I don't want you to think that I love you. I really wanted to hurt him, which is not exactly a principle of this program, but it's honestly what I was feeling and it's what I've been struggling with recently. And it comes back to hurt me at the end. Like this way of wanting to punish him, like I felt physically ill. Like I'm dealing with it still, so I'm very angry all the time. I slip at the slightest thing. I go back and forth of like how to feel about my dad. And my body like can't take so much of this and it gets sick. Like I was just really sick a few days ago and I'm still dealing with it. But there is nothing that I can do to change him. And that is something that I've been trying to learn for years. And every time I think I can, it gets worse. I cannot change him. I can only change myself. And in this scenario, changing myself looks like calling fellows to talk it out. It looks like journaling affirmations of my self-worth so that I don't get knocked down by the way he treats me. And it's attending meetings so that I know I'm not alone. And it's hearing this message. And it's hearing exactly what was read today.
I'm Sarah.
Yeah, thank you. With that, I pass. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sarah P. in California. Next, we're zooming over to New Jersey. Sharon C., good morning to you. Sharon, star one to unmute, please.
Oh, now, okay, now I'm on mute.
There you go.
Okay. I just want to claim my seat. I'm Sharon C., a compulsive overeater, and grateful to be here today and for all of you there. Being here too, and grateful for all the God gifts that He gives us, which includes recovery, of course. This is the first time I'm on the 10 o'clock meeting, and I'm glad I was able to be here. And thank you for listening. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon C. in New Jersey. We have some new voices today. Excellent. Before I take the next lineup of names, a reminder where we are. Page 67, the first full paragraph, we avoid retaliation or argument, closing with each and every one. So if this is your third day on any vision meeting to share, I'd love to know your first name, last name, excuse me, and the state or country that you're calling from this morning. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Carrie Ann, California.
Thank you, Carrie.
Jordan L.
Thank
Colorado.
You, Jordan. Good morning. Yes.
Good morning. Janet Z. in Los Angeles.
Good morning, Janet. Yeah. All right.
Marianne.
Who else do we have? Marianne. Chris. What was your last initial? Hold on 1 second,
F,
Chris.
As in Frank.
Thank you. And where are you from, Marianne?
Montana.
Thank you. And then I heard a Chris.
Yes, Chris from Washington.
Okay, you'll give us your last initial when you share. So here's who I have. I have Carrie Ann in California, Jordan L. in Colorado, Janet Z or Z, whichever you prefer, in Los Angeles, Marianne F. in Montana, and Chris, who will give us a last initial when she shares, in Washington. So could everybody other than Carrie N. please mute your line, and Carrie, join us. Thank you.
Hi, it's Carrie Ann from California. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm always on the lookout for promises, and I'll turn that into a gift. The gift for me is that at least God will show us how to take kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. And I can't think of a better gift for today than that. I struggled with being uncomfortable with people. And when I would read the big book and it would talk about tolerance, kindliness, I would just scratch my head. So for today, I'm accepting that and knowing that that's what recovery brings to me, is that I'll use that word turnaround from the previous paragraph. Thank you so much to everybody who does service on this line.
Thank you, Carrie N. in California. Next, we're going to go to Jordan L. in Colorado. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thank you very much for moderating our meeting for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. especially on a day like today. Merry Christmas to those who celebrate. Happy holidays to everybody else. And it's just a really beautiful thing that I have a place to go on on a holiday like today and share and be a part of this group. The real miracle is learning to avoid I don't know about you guys, but I come from a family where that's what I was taught to do. That's how you deal with conflict. You either retaliate or argue. You never back down, you know? You always fight until the death. So the 12 steps, the 12 steps was literally the first time that I had ever seen this demonstrated. I had no idea that this was even an option or a choice that I could make, you know, as far as dealing with conflict or dealing with the resentment, dealing with the way that I was feeling when I was resentful, you know. So I'm very grateful to all the folks that have worked the 12 steps and shown me how to avoid retaliation or argument. And I'll say that sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, it took me about 10 years of practicing the 12 steps to be able to do this like live in the moment on a consistent basis. So if you're having trouble with it, stick with it, you know. Keep practicing. That's what we do here. And also, as far as destroying our chance of being helpful, I think sometimes we assume that we're supposed to be helpful to the person we're resentful at. And maybe that is the case, you know, like maybe that is God's will. I don't know. The point is that, you know, each one of us is willing to seek that for ourselves. But what I do know is even in the situations that I can't be helpful to the person that I'm feeling resentful towards or having these feelings, I need to be able to let go of the resentment so that I can live in this world with other people, period, and be helpful to anyone else in my life. Because when I'm carrying around resentment or retaliation in my heart, I can't be helpful. I can't be of service to others. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan. Next, we are coming to Los Angeles, Janet Z. Star one to unmute, my friend.
Good morning, Janet Z, recovered in Los Angeles just for today. And happy Wednesday, everybody. For me, today is a day that ends in Y and food doesn't change. And I'm extremely grateful for that. These are feelings that I take underground rather rapidly. I kind of simmer resentments. It's a pattern, and I simmer resentments, and I have them on the back burner until it becomes a real issue in my life. And almost all of my resentments come from expectations, unreasonable sometimes, normal maybe. But I was taught that an expectation is a premeditated resentment. And so I have to check my motives. I have to check my willing people to have ESP about what I want or need. And it doesn't work that way, especially on a 12-step path. And I find that I cannot be helpful. I cannot be helpful if I'm bogged down in resentment and it doesn't feel good. So I'm just really grateful today. I can turn a resentment around. I can look at it from someone else's point of view and have an expanded consciousness around it to see not all participants had my worldview. And that is such freedom, because when I'm a victim, I have no choices. But if I'm a participant, I have recourse. I have my higher power. I have my sponsor. I have my fellows. I have my pen and paper, and I can be free. And that is truly a gift, especially on a day like today, where there's lots of expectations running around in many families. And I am grateful to be abstinent and sober today, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Janet. Next, we have Marianne F. in Montana. Good morning, Marianne. Marianne, star 1-7. Yes, we can now. Thank you. Go ahead.
Perfect. Good morning, everyone, and thank you, everyone, for your service. And I am a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater in Montana, and I think this little paragraph is so apt for me right now. I just experienced a situation where I was confronted with a person who harmed my adult child in an action that they took, and I have to just say that this program has helped me so much with how to deal with a situation like that. It didn't work out perfectly, but it's so much better than it would have been in the past. I was able to take a breath and before, you know, just picking up the phone and calling them, and definitely was aware of the fact that my motive was to, you know, try to teach them a lesson or to try to tell them the right way, that I know the right way to be in this world. And I did call a fellow, and they gave me very good advice to think about my motives. And I actually hadn't even thought about the fact that I could not call. and yet I did talk with my child, who was, you know, thinking that it might be good for me to call. So I did call, and things didn't work out, you know, what I expected didn't work out, of course, but I was relatively kind and there was not too much wreckage. So, you know, baby steps, I guess. I guess I learned a lot through this experience. I heard someone else speaking about the idea that you have to, you know, you're raised to always correct a wrong, you know, like that's your duty in life. And I was raised that way. And I guess I'm understanding now through my higher power and my connection with fellows and my practicing of the steps that that isn't necessary. And in fact, could just be better off not practiced. And I guess the thing that I really took out of this situation was this sense that I wanted to just call all bunch of people and try to get feedback from a bunch of fellows, which is sort of my way, like gather as much, you know, God forbid that I face my instincts and actually reach out to higher power. And this time
what
I did.
Time, Marianne?
Thank you. I resisted that temptation and was able to turn to higher power. So thank you, everyone, for being here today, and I hope you have a peaceful day. Thanks.
Thank you, Marianne F. in Montana. And next we have Chris in Washington. And Chris, if you could kindly give us your last initial as well. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Chris F. from Sam in Washington. And my first name, Susan, is spelled K-R-I-S-T as in Tom.
Thank you
for your service, and thank you for all the other service of the attendees this morning.
I have a choice. I can get into the blame game or I can stay out of the blame game. And it takes my higher power, the spiritual program, following the principles of this program, to stay out of that blame game. And part of that blame game for me is saving my self-image, to protect that self-image and ego. So what do I do? I forget what page it's on, but when I remember, and I have a good forgetter, when I remember, pause, pray, meditate, and ask for what my next step is. And it's going to be a choice. It's going to be do something, do nothing, but respond or be reactive. And if I'm responding, I'm responding with love and compassion and joy and peace, showing a different way, a new way to look at a situation. Or I can be reactive, and that is going to escalate the situation, either in my mind or with another person, place, or thing. I am so grateful for this program. I'm grateful for everyone who has been sharing daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. It has saved my life. And what a wonderful way to start the morning on Christmas Day, to practice love, tolerance, peace, compassion. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris S. in Washington. So I think we probably have time for two more people who would like to share on this paragraph this morning. Today is your third day. We'd love to hear from you on our last Wednesday in 2024.
Jan L., Florida.
Thank you, Jan. Anyone else?
Janice K.
Okay, we'll pause there and see where we are. Jan L. in Florida, please take it away. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Jan L. in Florida. And I wasn't going to share, but however, my one takeaway that I need for my recovery today in this discussion of the things I heard on this line, on this meeting, was my internal. So I thought for many years as I tried to recover that being quiet, my tongue, was the answer. And I got to where I could do that some, and I used God for that, and I used my fellows. However, a couple people talked about that internal holding of frustration, hurt, anger. You know, I ignored that. I ignored that and thought that if I didn't open my mouth and if I didn't do anything, I was working my recovery program. And honestly, it always leads me to eat. So what I am trying to do now is pay attention to the little bitty frustrations in me, the little bitty irritations, the little bitty thoughts that are driven by some sort of negative thinking and feeling in me, because those I need to do 10 steps. I need to do outreach. I need to do prayer. I need to be changed inside by my God and with the help of my fellows. So I just thought I would share that takeaway, and thank you all and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Jan L. in Florida. Next, we have Janice K. And Janice, if you could share with us where you're calling from. Thank you.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. When I read this, I see a successful execution of steps 10, 11, and 12. We avoid retaliation and argument. Of course we do, because we are working step 10, which is we watched for anger, resentment, jealousy, or anger, resentment, selfishness, and fear. So the first thing I have to do, not to retaliate or argue, is notice that it's there. So I see this happening. And it, happens slowly at first, it can get to be a lot quicker. I see my desire to retaliate or argue. I realize that those feelings involve resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. And immediately, my motive and my actives become compromised. Am I going to be my old self or my new self? So hopefully what I do is I take the moment and I reach for my higher power and I wait for the intuitive thought or action, which is God telling me what I need to do instead. So I avoid the anger and argument. I don't want to destroy my chance of being helpful. I cannot be helpful to all people, but I can be kind and tolerant of everyone. I see my desire. I realize that it is compromised. I ask my higher power what to do instead, and then I do it. It becomes a very quick thing. So, thank you for listening. And I pass.
Okay. Thank you so much, Janice Kay. Who would like the next minute and a half, probably? 90 seconds.
Chanel T.
Chanel, go for it. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Hi, Chanel T, Washington State. So we're uncovering right here. I'm uncovering, bringing things into the light that I've been eating over all this time, things that have been done to me or things that I don't think are right. And this is part of that process. Is realizing that I'm going to be taking my own responsibility for what I've done. But the good news is I don't have to live in it anymore if I go through this process, and I don't have to eat over stuff anymore. I can have freedom today. That's really all I wanted to say. And whatever you're celebrating today, have a happy one. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel. As we come to a close, I would love to thank Team Wednesday for the month of November. We had Wendy M. and SCH, Deborah L., Betsy H. and Jody E., and also readers for the Steps and Traditions with Jan L., and we had Mary P. today, but we did have Blair S. all month. If you are in need of a sponsor or you are an available sponsor, please, please stay on at the end where Betsy H. and Jody E. will help you. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 1. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. And thank you all for allowing me to be of service this month, and I'll be back next month. Will Deborah L. please unmute and read a vision for you for us? Thank you, Deborah.
This is Ann SCH. Deborah is book
I forgot. Gnostic. Sorry. Didn't change my script. Sorry.
Thank you for your service, Susan, and thank you for the privilege of letting me read. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if only your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.